On March 12th, the governor of Ohio
closed all schools for 3 weeks in an effort to slow the spread of coronavirus. This week, he announced the schools will remain closed until at least May 1st, and suddenly every family in Ohio became a homeschooling family. I have some friends who are having a blast at home with their kids and some who are really struggling. Most people are somewhere in between. There's good days, bad days, and I can't imagine what it would be like to get thrown into homeschooling without choosing it and without any preparation. So on top of the normal adjustments to learning at home, there's the added stress of trying to figure it out on the fly. Don and I have been talking about this, and we were trying to come up with a practical way to help and encourage families and decided to get together, virtually of course, and talk through what our homeschool days look like and what we've learned over the years. We're not experts by any stretch of the imagination, but we're hoping to provide some encouragement and practical suggestions to make this an easier and more enjoyable time for your family. So, Don, why don't you introduce yourself and share a little bit about how you homeschool?
I sure will. Thank you, Josie. My name is Dawn Eliotto, and I have homeschooled Kevin for 7 years now. For grades 3 through 7, we followed what I would call a traditional homeschooling program with me as the only teacher. Starting in 8th grade, we joined an online program. We've learned so much through our 7 years, but by no means do I consider myself an expert. We're still learning. Kevin's in 9th grade now and is planning to go to college. So the online school we attend has been very valuable. It tracks everything he does and provides me with his progress throughout the day. But we manage his day to day and in many different ways, and I still act as his teacher in some ways. I'm very hands-on in regard to what he's doing, so I'm often answering questions for him and helping him out in different types of ways. Of course, I'm only homeschooling one person, and he's a teenager, so it's not all that difficult, I would say. With Josie, with multiple kids in varying ages, I'm very curious to hear how homeschooling actually looks for you guys.
Yeah, I'm Josie Weinbaugh. I have 5 kids. They are in 7th, 5th, 2nd grade, and kindergarten, and there's also a 2-year-old in the mix. We've homeschooled for 8 years since my youngest was in kindergarten. Right now, I'm the primary teacher for all the kids in all subjects. We do utilize a video math curriculum for math lessons, but other than that, I'm pretty hands-on with all the subjects. As we were initially talking, Don, I think I said that I was a classical style homeschooler, but it's probably more Charlotte Mason. That doesn't really matter for our purposes here. But if anyone's interested, you can go Google it if you want, or ask me about it later and I'll talk about it for a really long time. But basically it boils down to we read a lot of books and we use a variety of resources for all of our different subjects. And one of the things I learned early on is that homeschooling just looks different than traditional school. The schedule, how long it takes, how you teach, all those things look different. So, Don, what does a homeschool day look like in your house?
Well, with just one child, I don't have a lot of chaos that I'm dealing with because he is a teenager and it's only one. But Kevin uses a desk calendar, and I'm really thankful that he uses this to plan his day out. He's learned a lot about time management with his desk calendar / planner. This year has been challenging with a lot of project work. For some reason, every class is doing a lot of project work, which means that he has to adjust his daily work schedule. On a plus side, it's teaching him a lot about how to manage his time when he needs to make last-minute adjustments, because projects can take up so much more time than just completing a regular lesson for the day. But this is what works best for us, Josie. We're up at 9 o'clock usually. Kevin has a total of 6 academic classes. He jumps in with 2 classes. We like to start out with tackling the most challenging classes of the day so he can get those over with. That's just a personal preference of his and mine. After he finishes 2 classes, he'll typically do like a gym class, which could be maybe treadmilling or taking a bike ride in nice weather. He's at the age where he's working out with weights now, and sometimes he'll even turn on a wee tennis game or bowling or something. And then he jumps into lunch and takes a shower. Then after that, he finishes the remaining subjects that he has. This is a typical day that I'm telling you about now. Sometimes, even as a teenager, focusing is still a challenge for him. So, of course, this time when he gets up and he steps outside or for prayer time, or he might listen to music. So I allow him, now that he's older, to kind of know when he needs to take a break and to take a break. I keep an eye on that. It can usually be about 10 minutes or so, but then he's back into school. His school has what is called a whiteboard time. So if he needs extra help on a subject, he can contact his teacher and say, you know, I need extra help with algebra. Can we meet online? And they will do a live whiteboard class. So he has to allow for that time too. So it's, you know, it's working through the day. He is typical in that he has days when he's more distracted than other days. So when classes are more challenging and when he just isn't getting something, those are times when he has to decide to take an extra bike ride, or maybe he comes to me and says he wants to pray together or change gears in some way. So he's learning a lot about, okay, this is an extra tough day and I need to adjust accordingly, or I need to talk to my mom about it. But that's pretty much a typical day for us. How about you, Josie? What does your day look like?
Well, I'm going to describe an ideal day, but we have a lot of days that are not perfect or ideal, especially in the last few weeks. When we've been going through a life transition, like having a baby or moving or things like that. So if that is a stage of life for anyone listening, just know that there's probably not going to be a real strong ideal day, and there may be a lot of ebb and flow, but when life is pretty settled, this is what an ideal day looks for us. Hopefully we're eating breakfast by 8 o'clock and done by around 8:30. My seventh grader often makes breakfast, not every single day, but a lot of days. Around 8:30, we're finishing up breakfast. Everybody has morning chores that they do. They don't typically take too long, but I give them about a half an hour to wrap things up. And hopefully we're starting school at about 9 o'clock when chores are done. My seventh grader have a list of independent work that they do, and they start that when chores are done and try to get through as much as they can by 10. Those subjects are usually math, grammar, handwriting, keyboarding, reading assignments for a variety of subjects, and practicing piano and karate, and for my oldest, violin. Independent doesn't mean that they never need anything from me, but they are old enough to go get the materials they need for those subjects, get them started, and then just come to me for questions as needed. My seventh grader is doing algebra now, and so part of my day is almost every day doing algebra with my oldest, which is a big stretch. So for anybody else who is tackling subjects that they are not comfortable with, you're in good company. Literally every homeschool family in the world is also dealing with that same thing. That's not unusual, so don't be discouraged about that. While my older two are doing their independent work, I'm working one-on-one with my kindergartner and my second grader. There's also the two-year-old in the mix. So hopefully while I'm working with the kindergartner, the second grader can go and play with her. While I'm working with my second grader, the kindergartner can play with her. That does not always work perfectly, but that's the goal, try to keep her occupied. And sometimes she is just sitting on my lap while we're doing those subjects with the kindergartner and the second grader. She just likes to be along for the ride. And sometimes she throws fits, and it's terrible, and it takes us forever to get it done. But on an ideal day, everyone goes off, and they play, and they do their thing. My kindergartner, the topics that we're doing one-on-one are math and handwriting and phonics. We do some other subjects as a family, but the things I'm doing just with him are those three things. Second graders the same, math, handwriting, phonics, and also reading out loud. And I also wanted to mention, if you have a child who's learning how to read, do not feel bad about how excruciating it is to listen to them. I regularly wonder how kindergarten and first grade teachers manage to not lose their minds when listening to little kids read, because it really is painful. It's just a hard process, because we all know how to read. We've been reading for many years, and so listening to them sound something out and they're so close, but then they say a completely unrelated word. It's just real hard. So hang in there. It gets better as they get to be better readers, but it is really difficult to listen to. And again, and among that, the two-year-old is interrupting a lot and needing things. We just kind of muddle through as best we can. Hopefully, the older two are done with independent work and I'm done with one-on-one work with the kindergartner and first grader by 10. And that's when we start morning time. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but basically we do a variety of short lessons together as a family. Around 11 or 11:30, we're doing history, geography, maybe writing and narration for my older two, and the second grader and kindergartner are kind of in and out. If we're doing like a history read aloud or something, a lot of times everyone gathers around the table to hang out, but otherwise the younger three are just kind of meandering and doing their own thing. Hopefully, we're done with all that by 12:30 and starting lunch. My seventh grader also makes lunch a lot of the time, which is really nice. We might listen to an audiobook. Sometimes it's something history related. Sometimes it's just something fun we're listening to. Or a lot of times it's Adventures in Odyssey from Books from the Family. They have a 4-week free trial right now. So if anyone is interested in that, you can go to the Focus website or just Google Adventures in Odyssey and sign up for that. After lunch, we are usually pretty much done with schoolwork by lunchtime. If we're not, it's my older two, my seventh and fifth grader, that have some things to finish up. And usually those are things that they can do on their own, reading assignments or some extra school thing that I've assigned. And then it's free play for everybody else. The most important part of the day, though, is quiet time. That is from 2 to 3:30 in our house. Only one of my kids naps, just the two-year-old naps. Everybody else has to be in their room or in the basement or outside, and I sit and sometimes I get things done, sometimes I try to be productive. A lot of times I end up having a cup of coffee and just sitting in the quietness. I'm an introvert, and I have a lot of people talking to me through the whole morning, so that little piece of quiet is really important for my day. After quiet time, you know, we're doing a little bit of picking up around the house, getting ready for supper, eating supper, after supper chores, getting ready for bed, the typical evening routine of most families. So that's what kind of an average good day looks like. Again, we have days that vary. If we have things going on, like if it's a day that we have karate or violin or something going on at church, we don't have anything going on right now. But if it is a day where we have classes outside the house, our day gets shifted around quite a bit. But otherwise, that's kind of what it looks like. So let's talk a little bit about how school at home looks different than school outside the home. First, how long it takes. A normal school day for a public or private school is about 7 hours. Don, from the time you start school to the time Kevin finishes his last assignment, about how long is that? And how much time within those hours is Kevin actually doing school?
That has changed so much, Josie, over the last couple of years, and it's a really good question. And I'm sure so many moms are wondering, like, is this all day? Do I finish in a couple of hours? I think people do think, oh, if we're at home, we can get this over and done with quickly. Kevin's academics, now that he's in ninth grade, takes about 5 hours to complete. That's just the academics. You know, this varies from day to day, whether he has project work or whatever the case may be, but it does vary. These reasons are a good reason why I need to keep an eye on his schedule to make sure he isn't moving along. But it allows me to understand why something is taking longer and to determine if he needs extra help or whatever, because sometimes a subject might be very challenging to Kevin and he's intimidated by it and he's not letting me know. So that can prolong a day. So I need to stay close and touch base with him about those kinds of things. You know, like I said, he can breeze through some subjects and take longer, like algebra and English seem to take him longer. So I know that he's gonna work longer on the day that he has those classes. He's not done with his academic day until 3:30. I'm going to include gym, okay? Sometimes he'll wait to do art or extracurricular classes even after dinner time. So he might jump into his art class that I have for him, or sometimes I have him doing reading about music or something different, and he'll wait till after dinner for that. So, you know, our day in ninth grader is so much academics. You know, he's really focused on that right now. He's got a grade point average he has to start taking seriously and things like that. But I would say 5 hours for the academics, and we're pushing the 7 hours by the end, by the time everything is all said and done.
Okay.
How about you? I can imagine with all the things that you're juggling, how long does it take you guys?
It actually doesn't take too long, but most of my kids are a lot younger. Once you get into high school, it does become a lot more rigorous, and I think because of the style of our homeschool, a lot of what we do is very focused on reading and the arts, and so it's not that that takes up less time necessarily, but it feels a little more leisurely if we're doing a topic like nature study and we're outside and, you know, sketching a plant or, you know, something like that. But most of the time, our school day takes around 4 hours start to finish, but that includes a couple of breaks, and not all the kids are doing schoolwork the entire 4 hours. That's really only my oldest, the seventh grader, that would be doing school for that amount of time. So if anyone's wanting to know kind of some averages for kindergarten, an hour or less is pretty typical. First through third, between 1 and 2 hours. Fourth through six, 2 to 3 hours. And seventh through 12, 3 to 5 hours. Again, this is really dependent on the type of homeschooling you do, how many extracurriculars you have in the mix. If you do a lot of lessons and classes, of course, that's going to take more time, but none of us are doing that right now. So this is kind of a typical academics-only time frame. So if any of you are, you know, finishing up school at, you know, 10:30 with your first grader, that's totally normal. When you're working one-on-one with a kid, it really just doesn't take that long to get through hours, all the hours of school. So for older grades especially, it's fine to break it up through the day. And that, I think, helps a lot to break up the monotony. I think most of us can't just sit and do focused work for hours on end, even as adults, we need that break. So Dawn, one of the things that we talked about earlier is you said that your homeschool day is stretching out longer than normal right now because Kevin doesn't want to be bored in the evening. So what does that look like right now?
It has been so interesting, Josie, because of the stay in order. And Kevin is an only child. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he has been stretching his day out. And I've just allowed him that freedom and independence. With our main goal being you still have to accomplish your daily classes, okay? So it's very hard for me because I like to things to be kind of like start your classes and finish your classes, but this is the time for that. Again, all of a sudden he's doing, I'm going to be honest, he's doing algebra at 11 o'clock at night. And that is very strange for me, but that's how he needs to do this right now. Our goal, again, is to finish all of his academics. Kevin likes to go out right now in this nice weather, like all kids do, and I'll find him out on the deck singing, or I'll find him having his prayer time outside, sitting on the step, or he may go, you know, for a bike ride, or reach out to his cousins or his friends, or even call his grandma and just check in on her. And those are all very good things, and I'm very thankful that he has kind of independently adjusted his lifestyle to this, knowing that he still has school to do. We've also challenged him to find ways to reach out to other people during this time. You know, I think we're all trying to make sure the elderly are taken care of and things like that, and we have a couple of elderly neighbors that he will go and check on. Some of this has been because we are functioning differently as a family now, but it's also because he's bored and just trying to stretch his day out. I'm thankful that I've had the chance to observe him doing this and that he has actually kind of independently by himself realized it's a different time. So I've got to survive this too, you know? So it's, I would say this has been actually a very positive thing for him that way. Of course, some days are harder than others. I'm not going to lie. Some days I have to say, you know, you are getting your work done, right? Or I go into the parent portal to make sure there are classes being accomplished. But I'm trying to not be on his back, so to speak, you know, to allow him that independence. and because I'm observing my child in kind of a unique scenario and an opportunity that I normally wouldn't be, you know, having. So it's good. It's a good thing right now. But how does it look for you guys? And what's going on at the Lineback house?
Our day doesn't look drastically different. You know, I think the thing that I'm just recognizing is that my own life looks a little bit different. Not because there's anything in particular I have to do necessarily, but just the rhythm of our day. You know, my husband's home. There's more disruptions. And we're all just feeling a little edgy right now. I mean, we're all fine. Everything's fine, but it's just a strange time. And I think even as adults, we're having to change the way we do everything. You know, we're not sitting together talking about this. We're talking virtually to each other's screens, which I still think is weird and I don't really like, but I'm getting there. So I think, you know, we're all kind of learning on the fly how to handle this. So unless your child has a class online at a specific time, I talked to some friends who have kids whose teachers are doing like lessons on Zoom or something like that. Unless there's some time, you know, some time specific class they have to be to, you can create the schedule that works best for you. And I think giving your child some options can help them feel a little more in control and an out of control sort of situation. And it also just makes for a more enjoyable school day. You had talked about how you and Kevin like to tackle some of those harder subjects first, and we do the same thing. Getting those out of the way first thing in the day just means that we've freed up space to do those more fun things later. So, you know, it's something like that would work for your child. To let them choose, okay, which subject would you like to start with today? Or it could be a fun topic to start with to get them motivated to begin the school day, or even where they would like to do school. We're at the kitchen table most of the time just because it's central. I can keep an eye on everybody, but we definitely do, you know, couch school and lazing around on the bed school while we're reading. Sometimes they'll sit at my desk and do some school, or even go outside, sprawl out on the floor. You do have to watch for distraction in those situations. Not every kid can go sprawl out on the floor and stay focused on their schoolwork, but if they can do it and it makes things feel fun and festive, then I think it's totally worth it. And that's one of those things that can help everyone just stay cheerful, because one of the things that we always run into with our kids, homeschool or otherwise, is frustration and bad attitude. So let's talk a little bit about how we deal with some of those things. Educating kids is a challenge whether you're working in a public or private school or you're homeschooling. And teachers who are trying to adapt their lesson plans right now and make them something that will work at home really have a huge task. And parents trying to take those lessons and implement them are also facing a huge task. I make all the decisions about what curriculum we use and our schedule, what subjects we're going to study, when we'll have school breaks, everything. And sometimes I try to implement something and it's horrible and I wonder why I ever thought that that would work. My husband taught at a private school for 10 years and at the college level before that. And even with all of his experience, he had plenty of times where he planned to do something and it just didn't work out how he expected, or it took up a lot more time than he thought, or it took way less time than he thought. So if you're struggling with the lesson plans your child's teacher has created or how your school district is handling all of this, just remember there's a huge learning curve for everyone that we're trying to overcome. And your kids are going to really quickly pick up on either, you know, the frustration you show toward their teacher and the district, or the grace you show in a really tough situation. So whether it's this school year or next fall, your kids will be going back to school and they'll either go back with a new appreciation and respect for all of the work that their teachers put into their jobs, or they'll go back with an attitude of annoyance and disrespect. So I guess, we can't control how our kids respond to learning at home, but we can, with the Lord's help, control how we respond. And whether you've been homeschooling for 3 weeks or 3 decades, these are tense moments and tough days. So sometimes tough weeks, even tough months. So Don, when things get tense, either because of, you know, stuff going on at home or the schoolwork or whatever it is, what do you do to lighten the mood when Kevin is having a tough day or when you're having a tough day?
I love that, Josie, because teenagers have attitudes and sweetie moms when teenagers have attitudes. So I think you're bringing up such a good point, first of all, that we can't control their attitudes and how they're feeling, but we can control ours. And I thank you for pointing that out, because even with just one child, I have to guard my tongue sometimes. Kevin is self-motivated, and I'm blessed with that, but he, you know, he has his moments, and it's hard. I have learned to know when to step in and help to keep the environment light and keep things light. Sometimes he doesn't receive that because he has his own agenda and he's worried about finishing his project or whatever the case may be. But I know my son, and I've learned a lot by observing him and knowing, okay, it's time for a break because it's getting pretty tense here. So I've learned to know when to jump in and say, Kevin, let's go for a walk. Or how about let's go sit out on the deck. It's a beautiful day. Sometimes he responds to that favorably, and sometimes I get some pushback, I'll be honest. But, he, you know, again, I'm dealing with a teenager, and that's all new for me too. Sometimes I'll grab him and say, let's go for ice cream, or maybe I'll treat him to a special lunch at his favorite restaurant. We're paying very close attention to his grade point average, and I think for Kevin being driven the way he is, that brings a certain tenseness to just him, because he's thinking, I've got to get this done, and not only do I have to get it done, but I need to do it well, and I need to have a good outcome. So I have to know, okay, we're getting carried away here, it's getting too serious, and help him learn how to balance that. I'm glad he's driven, but you have to be careful, and we try to be careful with helping him realize that we can't allow school to be an idol, but we want him to see it as a responsibility. So there's a balance with that. We have to learn that as adults too. So those opportunities are great teachable moments. We know, or I know, when there's times that we just need to go before the Lord and stop and pray about something. And that often really does bring us back to where we need to be. But I do believe that, you know, just keeping that environment light is the best that you can as a parent, and helping them know when to step away. So I'm thankful that I have a lot of other moms who have walked this path before me and have shared their successes and their frustrations. And I hope that what we're doing is going to allow that same thing. But I'm thankful specifically for those times, because I want this to be a good experience for Kevin. I want schooling to be a good, happy experience, you know, the best that I can. So where are you guys in that, Josie? What kind of things do you do?
Well, I think that you brought up a really great point about just knowing your kids and knowing if they tend to, be lax in their schoolwork and easily distracted, or if they get hyper-focused, maybe they're perfectionists and, will not just move on if they can't do something perfectly. You know, if you don't already know these things about your kids, you're going to find out in the next couple of weeks, because there's nothing like schoolwork that really zeroes in on those character issues for both your child and you. So I think part of it is knowing your kids and being able to sense when they're kind of going down a bad road. And when I see that happening with my kids, I handle it differently with each of them, depending on their personality and maybe the subject that we're doing. I pretty regularly have a conversation with several of my kids about how we don't know for sure what sort of math you will need when you are an adult, and maybe you will not need this math when you are an adult, but for right now, we're going to prepare as if you might need, you know, these different varieties of math. And even if you don't use them, this is a good opportunity to honor the Lord by working hard to your ability. I have another child that I need to remind that doing school isn't about doing it perfectly. It's about just working to the best of your ability, and learning something new is usually hard, and you usually get things wrong at first, and that's okay. So sometimes we have to remind our kids that it's okay to make mistakes. It's really fine. But just some different things that we've done to lighten the mood a little bit. I can't remember where I heard this. I'm sure lots of people have said something like this, but add water. Sometimes it means like, go get a drink, take a little breather, and then come back. But sometimes it's something like, okay, maybe you need to just go hop in the shower, you know, take a few minutes, or playing in water, inside or out, however that works best for your family. But so there's just something about water that is relaxing and fun for all of us. And so that has been a good thing for my kids. Fresh air is always good. Like you talked about, you know, going out on the deck with Kevin, even if it's just for a few minutes. Sometimes we time the kids running around the house, like how fast can you run around the house? And then it kind of has an end point too, because going outside, sometimes it's hard to rein them back in. There's an old English proverb, a change is as good as a rest. So sometimes just changing to doing something different, reading a book, drawing or coloring, switching to a different school subject for a little while is as good as taking a break. Snacks, always helpful. Putting on some music, having a little dance party, that's the style of your family. A quick game, not like Monopoly or Risk, those would be way too long, but like, you know, checkers or tic-tac-toe or just something to lighten things up a little bit. I think sometimes doing something silly or unexpected is good. You know, like telling a joke or making a silly face. I have one kid that just regularly needs me to beat him up a little bit. Like just tackle him to the floor and tickle him a little bit. That makes a big difference. And I think using a timer can be really helpful, especially for younger kids. If like the K through second grade crowd, if a lesson is taking longer than like 20 or 30 minutes, it's probably just taking too long and you should just close the book and call it a day. You know, and for older grades, you know, third or fourth, 30 to 40 minutes after that, you're probably going to lose them. So sometimes it's good to just call it a day and stop that subject for the time being. It's better to come back to it later than to try to teach them to death, because that just never works. And watch how long your older kids are spending on subjects too. I think sometimes if there's not like an end of class bell looming on the horizon, kids who tend toward perfectionism, they may spend too much time on something. And kids who are easily distracted, they may be like in their room playing with the cat instead of doing the work. So keeping an eye on the time can be good. And for moms, you know, we're not always completely in control of these things, but as much as it's up to you, try to get sufficient sleep. That makes a big difference just in normal life, but in your ability to lovingly and patiently instruct your kids. Stay hydrated. Take breaks, get up and move your body every once in a while. If you've got a couple of kids in the mix and you're sitting and doing school for a really long time, that just doesn't feel good. So you need to get up and move your body too. I think one thing for me is to dress for the day. No judgment here if you can get through your normal day and your jammies, but if I'm not dressed for the day, I feel like I should be sitting on the couch sipping coffee, not getting things done. So it's important for me to get up and get dressed. I need to turn off the notifications on my phone, sometimes even move it to another room. I've been interacting with people through my phone more than I ever have, ever. I've actually talked to people on the phone recently, which is something I don't normally like doing. Right now I have 4 or 5 unread text messages, 2 Voxer messages. I think there's a Marco Polo in there. It's really hard for me not to just read and respond to those because I don't want to forget about it. But if I do that, it just derails the homeschool day. So I have to stop myself from doing it. And so I've used some productivity apps on my laptop and my on my phone. And that helps quite a bit in keeping me on track. And I think atmosphere is helpful too. Something baking in the oven for snack time always cheers everyone up. And we've been doing a lot of baking lately. Diffusing some essential oils, putting on some music, those sorts of things. And I think too, remember how hard it is to learn something new while someone who completely understands that thing is looking over your shoulder. Be sympathetic with your kids. It's just really, especially as I've been doing math, I have remembered how hard it is and just have a lot of sympathy for her. But in spite of that, I can still get frustrated really quickly and have to constantly remind myself, this is a hard thing. And her brain is resisting learning it because it's new and difficult. So trying to remember that and to be sympathetic is really important. And aim for progress, not perfection. Doing schoolwork without whining is good progress. And doing school with a good attitude, that is progress. Or reining in a bad attitude and moving forward to finish the worksheet, that is all progress. So recognize those little victories that you have. I think another thing we could talk about is the distractions that we have going on right now. Mainly screens, siblings, and dads. So let's talk a little bit about helping our kids with distractions. I think something pretty much all of us have to deal with is our devices. So Dawn, how do you guys handle screens in your house for Kevin?
Well, another good question, Josie, because this is a world of technology that we live in, and it seems as if I can't function too much without my electronics. Mm-hmm. But they are very distracting. So we have set some basic guidelines. They've been a little bit different, but I'm going to talk about a typical homeschool day. The guidelines are pretty cut and dry, and it may sound like it's just a bunch of rules, but I think these are important things, at least for Kevin. Basically, we have no electronics, no TV. He's not allowed to reach out to his homeschool friends until after school, because they're very tempted to like go to that device and text each other. But I can't really allow any of that. Once I do, I have a very distracted teenager. And then the attitude slips in there. So we have made that a basic kind of guideline there. He is 15 and he is becoming, he's almost to the driving age. So we do allow him to approach us with an appeal. Sometimes he says, I know my one friend, Andrew, has done this class before. Maybe I can ask him a question. Well, that's reasonable. Of course, you can use the phone for that. So he comes to us, and it has allowed some really good teachable moments. Sometimes he just really does need to step away, and I allow him to use his phone. Kevin does have a phone because he goes places independent of us. So we did finally break down and give him a phone of his own, but it is completely managed by me. So a lot of times he doesn't even know where it is. But that's pretty much how it works when it comes to the electronics in our house. How about you?
Yeah, it's pretty similar. We try to keep all the screens off until after school is over. We do a couple things on the computer, so that is on, but they're only doing school stuff on the computer, and then they get up and step away. I think for us, deciding on what our school hours are going to be and sticking to that is really important. If the kids notice I'm distracted around the time that we usually start school, they disappear. They scatter to the far winds, and then I have to go hunt them down. It can delay our school day a half an hour. So when they see me being on task and ready to sit down and do school, then they usually fall in line. But if I'm distracted, then they are as well. But keeping even my own electronics out of the school area is helpful. So, putting my phone in the other room sometimes can help. Because even if I get a text, they're like, Mom, you got a text. I know, I don't need to check it. It's fine. But I do kind of want to check it, so it doesn't help that they're encouraging me to. Clearing out some of the visual clutter. We definitely have times during the school day when there's just junk everywhere on the table, and that can't be helped because we're doing something crafty maybe. But otherwise, try to keep some of that visual clutter off the table because it just helps everybody to stay more focused if we don't have stuff laying around. Sometimes I'll set up zones in the house to help those doing school to stay focused and those playing to not be a distraction. And we'll talk a little bit more later about some specific things you could do to try to keep little ones occupied while the big kids are doing school, but setting up a place for them to be, an appealing place where they want to stay there instead of coming out to bother you, can really help. If your child's using a Chromebook, you can use some extensions to block tempting websites. There's an extension called Stay Focused for Chrome that you can choose what sites to block, how long you want to block them, the days of the week you want to block them, because I know a lot of students have brought Chromebooks home from school and are using those. And it's just so easy to click over to Facebook or, you know, whatever social media kids are using these days. And it's important for me too. I have an app on my phone that blocks Instagram and, you know, other sites that I like to mess around on and be not productive. So as an adult, it's important for me too. But I think it's harder to keep the schedule going when dad is home. My husband's off work right now, and he's home, and he's keeping himself busy, but just knowing that he's here makes every day feel like Saturday for my kids. And so, you know, they want to go out and see what he's doing, and if he comes in for lunch, they want to hang out with him. And so I'm trying to find that balance between just enjoying that he's around and spend time with him, but also staying focused on our school day. So I know I had to sit down and talk a little bit about this is what morning looks like. If you can either like sit down and help or try to just make yourself scarce during those hours, then it helps us to stay focused. We had to kind of sit down and talk about what our day was going to look like. You know, if you have a husband at home and he was not there previously during the day, and you've got preschoolers, babies in the mix, maybe he can pitch in with them, or take on a school subject or two, or make lunch, or throw that little towel from the fire. So it's just a good conversation to have, like, how are we going to make this work? We're all here up in each other's business all the time. Right now, my husband's building a chicken coop, so he's been pretty occupied most of the school day, but it's definitely been a little bit of a struggle, and it seems like we have a harder time getting going in the morning, especially because, you know, he's enjoying that he's having a little time off, and, you know, he gets to work pretty quickly in the morning. A lot of times it's when we're having breakfast and getting chores done, and they're like, Dad, look at this thing, and that can drag on for quite a while. But Don, your husband was already working from home before anything started shutting down. So I know his schedule has varied over the years, but when he has been working during school hours, how have you ordered your day to keep everyone on task and not distracting one another?
It's so pertinent to now, Josie. So again, another very good question, because so many moms are dealing with dad at home, and a lot of the dads are actually working at home. So we are blessed that Lou has an office in our basement, and that helps a lot. And it's kind of an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing, the fact that he's actually down in the basement. He has privacy doors, so he can close his office doors. But Kevin does get tempted to go in his office and see him. And, you know, dad's down there, so, you know, I can go ask him this question, or I can go talk to him about youth group tonight or something like that. We allow Kevin to go down there, of course, because he is older and I can keep an eye on that. But I do have to make sure he doesn't abuse it, because Lou is busy. During this time, it's so challenging right now, because where Lou works, he is just being pulled in so many different directions. So there's times when I have to say to Kevin, you know, Kevin, dad's working and he's busy and we need to respect his privacy right now. So this isn't a good time to go down there. And Kevin, you know, he's adapted to that pretty good. There's just times when I think he just wants to see his dad, you know, period, end of story. Like you said, they want to see what dad's up to. I feel like it's my job as the mom and the wife to keep an eye on all of those kinds of things for Kevin, for Lou. And I'm even more productive right now. I'm doing more things. We're doing this today, you know, so I don't even think Kevin's used to me doing things like this. So it's a lot of like communication, letting Kevin know dad's going to be in a business meeting. This isn't a time to go down right now. I'm doing this. Try to, you know, stay focused in your room with your schoolwork. So I think it really comes down to communication and letting him know. There's days when Luke comes upstairs and he says, let's go for a bike ride. And, you know, Kevin's more than happy to oblige. But it's a day-to-day. It really is day-to-day, especially right now with just knowing those boundaries and respecting those boundaries and working together as a family and talking to each other. So